said, it's been good to be here, couldn't it? And I appreciate those good things that's been said about me this morning, about my wife. It gives us a whole lot to live up to. And I was just thinking that Brother Barry placed emphasis upon people laying up with treasures. And I thought about this fellow one time and said he had liked what the preacher preached on so well that Sunday morning. That back before, you know, a lot of preachers weren't on salary then and just passed the hat. So when the fellow came out, preacher standing back to greet the people as they're leaving church, and this fellow says to the preacher, said, "Preacher, I really like that sermon you preached this morning. That was a good sermon. I liked it. I liked it so good I put in a $20 bill." That's a whole lot of money back then, but it's not, today it's not as much. But he said, "I put in that $20 bill like the sermon's good." Preacher said, "Well, the good Lord says it's more blessed to give than to receive." The old boy said, "Well then, preacher, give it back to me." I think it's good that we as Christians were able for life. And I was just thinking, sitting here listening to the good singing and good things that's been said and people praying and all. But I was thinking about the one thing that really has impressed me this morning. Being blessed to see so many faces of children and young people here today. We didn't have that a whole lot when I was here. We may have picked up and had a few more of them, but I remember when I first came here, had even such a wonderful group of people to minister to. But you people, some of you acted almost like your face is down in the sand. You were just, I was almost ready to give up. But we picked up some then, didn't we? But you've been picking up since then, and I'm grateful, Lord, for that. And I'm grateful that you have a fine pastor and wife, and also then you have a fine young man, wife and children to work with the children here. So I think it's wonderful David and Lee are here with you people. And I think as they also grow as Christians, and you can help them grow, and they'll be a blessing to you. And I believe that you people are going to work that way together for the glory of the Lord. And I think it's good that you get out that informer, your newsletter, and also making people so welcome to come to this place of worship. Let them know that you have something to offer people, something that they need, and they need it. So you just keep on keeping on being faithful unto the Lord. And let me say, too, I look around and I don't see the faces of some of those people that were here when I was here. They departed from this walk of life. And it may not be as long as it has been until you and I will be moving out. But I'm in no big hurry to go, but I'm ready to go when he calls. I guess most of us feel a whole lot like this one fellow said when the preacher was preaching about going to heaven and all, then he asked the congregation, said, "Everybody that's here and all that said, will you please stand up if you are ready to meet the Lord? Will you please stand up?" Everybody stood up but one dear old brother. And the preacher thought, man, what is the world wrong with this man that he just doesn't want to go to heaven? So he mentioned something to the preacher about that. He said, "Oh, preacher." He said, "No, it's not that I don't want to go to heaven." But he said, "I thought you were getting up a load right now." So I'm glad the Lord is going to call our number one these days. But until then, may we be faithful. Amen? May we be faithful. Let me say just a few other things before I read Scripture and bring a message. Being the Lord's will, I'm centering a message around four important relationships today. Your relationship, the person, God, person is church, the person is government, and the person is family. And you be in prayer for me as I bring this message this morning. I've had pretty much pain with my left leg and my hip somewhat at the side, never think it is, but I've told some of you people here this morning that it is not old age. I'm convinced of that. You may say, "Well, preacher, you're 82 and yet not age." Well, the other leg's the same age and it's not doing that, so that reasons out is not old age. So, you be in prayer for me and I get to preach and even forget all about having any pain. Okay? That has happened, and prayer this morning is, Lord, you have anointed me in the place to preach, and do it again, Lord. I've been at this for a long time. Can you believe I've been preaching for almost 61 years? That's a good while, isn't it? Good while. But I still enjoy trying to preach, and I say the reason busy not to be a pastor now. I remember when I resigned where I was, and some people said, he's retired. I said, I did not use that word retire. I said, I use the word resign. And I've been booked everywhere to preach somewhere this month and every Sunday next month, step one. And I've been staying pretty busy in different pulpits preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I love to be a blessing to the pastors and help to encourage them and help the congregation really support them and get in there and help the church be what it should be. So you just pray for me as I go from place to place preaching the gospel. I'd rather preach the gospel of Jesus Christ or try to preach it than to eat when I'm hungry. And you know, preachers like to eat. I told my daddy one time, my daddy's a Methodist preacher, and I said, Daddy, I tried to preach about 3 or 4 times. I started preaching when I was 22, and I said, Daddy, I just can't preach like I want to. And that Methodist preacher, my father looked at me, and he said, you never will. And you know something? He never spoke any more of a mouthful of truth than he did that day, because the message of Jesus Christ is so great and so wonderful. I just don't have the ability to tell it like I want to. What a wonderful message we have to proclaim. Then, too, you were singing about living by faith, and it really came to my mind while you were singing that to say this. As you think of living by faith, may we keep in mind that without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. As the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, for those who come to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God wants us to expect things from Him. Amen? He wants us to believe. So you believe and you exercise your faith. We are living in a very dangerous time. But praise God, it's a wonderful time to be alive. Amen. Wonderful time. Well, you who have your Bibles and like to read with me, turn to me to St. John's Gospel. Gospel of John. First chapter. Now you have time to find it. May we stand together in honor of God's word as I shall read. This book speaks with authority as no other book speaks with authority. God's people wrote this book as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. I know the word has been translated many times, but I definitely believe this is a message from God, and I've been preaching it for a long time, and I still love to preach those messages that when I read the scripture, they just jump out and grab me. Amen. Notice, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, not the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory, his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated. Four important relationships. To the best of my knowledge, this is the first time I've ever used these thoughts that are homecoming. But I believe if you listen to this message and apply it to your life, it can help you to really be prepared in a greater way for that great homecoming day when we should be at home with Jesus. Notice here that Paul is saying, in the beginning, not Paul, but John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is speaking here about Jesus, the Word. What does words do? They convey a message to us. Jesus came to convey a message to us. Not only did he come to bring a message to us, but he himself was the message. Without the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ, there is no remission of sin. So we see the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Wasn't anything made that was made without Jesus. Jesus has always been and always will be. John says that Jesus was even before he was. And he certainly was. He always has been and always will be. Now, as we think about relationships, one of the most important, the most important relationship and fellowship there is being rightly related to Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul's prayer for the children of Israel was this. He says, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Again, we hear Jesus praying for his believing children to the Father. He says, Father, I pray that they will be one as you and I are one. So Jesus was wanting people to have that relationship and fellowship with the Heavenly Father. Again, we notice that on the day of Pentecost, there was that genuine fellowship. They were one mind, one accord. And we notice, as the psalmist says, 133, I behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Like the oil was upon Aaron's beard that ran down to his skirt. And he spoke about how the Lord there he commands his blessings. God wants people to dwell together in unity with him and in unity with each other. I'm grateful to God for the spirit of unity I sense at Southport Baptist Church today. I'm grateful to the Lord for that. And do your best to strive and keep the spirit of genuine fellowship, unity, that right relationship and fellowship. I'm sure I shared this with you when I was here as pastor, but I share it with you again about the Indian father. He knew he was dying. So he calls his four sons in. He says to his sons, he lets them know that he's going to die. But then he said to his boys, boys, I want each of you to go out and get a stick and bring it in. Each son went out and found the stick and brought it back. And he said, now, boys, I want you to break the stick you have in your hands. Each one broke the stick he had in his hand. Then he said, boys, I want you to go back out and get a stick each again. They went out and they got a stick each. He said to the younger son, give that stick you have in your hand, give it to one of your brothers. And right on, he said that until only one son had all four of those sticks in his hands. Then he said, I want the younger son to take those sticks now and see if he can break those sticks. He tried and tried. He couldn't do it. Right on to the oldest son. The oldest son couldn't break the stick. Then the Indian father, he looked at his boys and he said, boys, sons, always stay together and you will not be broken. church, stand together for Jesus' sake, the sake of this church, for the sake of the community. Reach out, having that right relationship with your Heavenly Father, and that right relationship with each other is so needful. As Paul would say, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That was his prayer and heart's desire to God, was that his people would be saved. Paul says that Jesus was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Reconciling the world himself. That the Father was in Jesus reconciling the world, that we would have relationship and fellowship with the Heavenly Father. Now, I believe this. If our greatest need had been wealth, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, he would have sent us an entertainer. But you know something? Our greatest need was to be reconciled to the Heavenly Father. So therefore, Jesus sent us a Savior to forgive us. Amen? Let's give him a big hand for what he's done for us in Jesus. Aren't you glad that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life? For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. God wanted to reconcile us from that fallen condition that we were in. And I praise God today that I'm an iron joint iron with Jesus. Amen. Iron joint iron with Christ. And we'll notice too then, that Paul would say that he's committed to you and me also the ministry of reconciliation. It's my job and your job to reach out with the message of Jesus to lost and to dying world, that they may know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I'm grateful to the Lord for our Southern Baptist missionaries, whether they be in the homeland or foreign lands. They're out there sharing the gospel of Jesus that others may know him, that they might be reconciled to the Heavenly Father, be ours and join ours with Christ. And so, we have a great responsibility before us today, that is to help reach a lost and dying world. People are lost, they're dying without hope. That's sad. Share the gospel of Jesus with them. Much more could be said about our relationship with the Father, but that's the greatest relationship fellowship there is. And if we get that right, other things will fall in place pretty apt to. Amen? Then we think of the person and the church. The person and the church. The story is told one time about this brother. He wanted to join the church, and the pastor and the people there in the community, they knew the man that he wasn't too well to do and what have you, and maybe a lot of people looked down on him, so the pastor wasn't too anxious about his joining the church. And so he said to the man, he said, brother, instead of joining the church today, he said, I want you to go home and pray about it and see what the Lord tells you about joining this church. So a few Sundays after, the man came back, and the preacher looked at him and said, did you pray about join this church, and what did the Lord tell you? He said, well, yes, preacher. He said, I prayed about it. You know something? He said, the Lord told me that he'd been trying to get into this church for a long, long time, and he'd never gotten into it. It wouldn't have been a chance for him. It wouldn't have been a need for him to try to get into it. But this is a church here at South Fork Baptist Church. The doors are open. Welcome people in who love Jesus. So keep on keeping on for the Lord. So our relationship to the church is very, very important. We should do our best to help the church be the church and help point people to Jesus. I remember reading this story one time. This girl, a young lady, she was away from home. She was in college, many miles away from home. And her father and mother had died. And she'd come back to the campus, and she's so depressed. And there was a big river and a bridge right So she made her way over to that bridge, climbed the Pomerella and all, and had in mind all intentions of committing suicide. But before she jumped, she looked down to water. Then she looked back up. And a little ways off, she saw a beautiful church steeple. And she crawled back down from the bridge. And she made her way over to the church. And she walked into the pastor's office. She talked with him. He talked with her. But then she said, "Preacher, pastor, is there anything on this church that will keep me from going back to the bridge? Friends, do your best to help this church have a something on the steeple that will keep people from going back to the bridge. A lot of people are committing suicide. I remember some years back, just a few years, there was about six, there's one Methodist and about five or six Baptist ministers that committed suicide. So friend, let's us as a church help offer people hope, hope. What about your relationship with this church? Are you doing your part to help a good church be a better church? Are you really supporting this church with your prayers? One of the things, first things you do in the morning, well, among the first things you do, it'd be that you spend some time in God's Word, you spend some time in prayer, and praying for your church family, and your family, and others, what have you. But are you really praying for your church? Are you really supporting your church with your attendance as you should? With your prayers as you should? With your money as you should? Are you bringing God's tithe into the house of the Lord and bringing an offering into the house of God? Too many church people, they'll squeeze a brownie so hard it almost makes Abraham Lincoln think the Civil War's on again. We need to be generous givers. Wasn't God generous, and isn't He generous? Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Heavenly Father. And the greatest gift of all gifts was His only begotten Son, stepping down from the portal of glory by the means of the virgin birth, living a sinless life and going to Calvary's cross to take my place and your place. What a gift. Did not Paul refer to Jesus as being God's unspeakable gift? When I think of what God has given and is given, doesn't it make us want to give? Be a generous giver. Support your church. Be a good witness for Jesus wherever you are. You know, sometimes people mention me or did when I was a pastor. I met one of your church members out there. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that person was a blessing for the cause of Christ because I knew him. Then sometimes I've heard people say, "I met one of your church members and I've known how they live and how they're acting. It's sad." Friends, be a person that your pastor will be pleased to say, "That's one of my sheep. That's one of my sheep." So pray for your church. Witness for the Lord. Attend church faithfully and support it. Then, briefly, thinking about the person and government. We have a responsibility for our government. I know the government is supposed to be by the people and for the people. And it seems as if it's not that today like it used to be. I'm so disappointed with some of our political leaders. It's a disgrace what some of them have done and are doing. It's sad. But you have an awesome responsibility, though, to pray for our leaders. You have a responsibility comes time to elect people to positions of leadership in our government to cast your vote. Get out there and vote. Pray and vote for the people you know that you should. We are hurting today for leadership in our government. We're hurting badly. Our nation has turned too much from so much away from those things that help make us a great nation. And some of our leaders are turning their back too much on Israel. When we turn our back on Israel, we are hurting. God said to Abraham, Abraham, those who bless you, I will bless, and those who curse you, I will curse. That's Bible. So friends, pray for our government. And pray that people will be elected to position leadership that should be there. Some of these liars that they may be out. You say, would you think some of them are liars? I don't have to only think, I know. So let's pray that we'll have the right kind of leadership. And we still have some good leaders, and I'm grateful, Lord, for them. Could go on and say more about government, but let's move on. Bible teaches us to pray for those who are in position of leadership. The Bible also says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due. Didn't Jesus say, render to Caesar what due Caesar, and to God what's due God? Now let's turn also briefly and look at person and family. We looked at the person God, the person church, person government. What about the person and the family? I think it's good to think about the responsibility of each family member. Dad, you have an awesome responsibility in the home. The word husband is an Anglo-Saxon word, which literally means to be a man or a master, a one who controls the household. Are you really a master of your home? Are you really the head of your home? You may say, oh, we have two heads in our home. Well, anything that doesn't have a head at all is dead. Anything that has two heads, it's a freak. So, man, you have an awesome responsibility of being the leader in your home. And I know sometimes the wives have to do it because some of the men are too cotton-picking sorry to be the leaders. And that's sad. But men, stand up and be a man of God. And when your children, they grow up and they look back and they'll remember, I had a dad who was a leader in my home. And he pointed us to Jesus. And he was a good provider. The Bible says those who will not provide for the household deny the faith and worse than infidel. That's pretty low, isn't it? Not only are we to provide leadership and tangible things in life, we're to provide that spiritual leadership. Amen? What about the wife? She and the husband, they're to work together. She shows love and respect for him as a leader. And respects him as that. There is genuine love for each other. The Bible says that the husband is even to love the wife as Christ loved the church and give himself for it. That's a sacrificial love. Women, that wouldn't be hard to love that kind of a man, would it? He loves you with that sacrificial love. And the wife then love her husband, and they work together to bring those children up to serve the Lord. Pretty much like sisters, they work together. What about the children? They are to show respect for mom and dad and be obedient. I believe it's Billy Graham that said that children who are not brought up to respect their parents will not likely show respect for others like they should. So friends, do your best to have a family that God will be proud of. Amen? May we humble our hearts together in prayer. Father, I put forth an effort to share with these people some truth this morning. And I pray that they'll listen and heed to it. I pray your will be done. If anyone here today who has never been born again and do not have that relationship and fellowship with you, it's my prayer this will be the day that he or she will walk down this aisle and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We desire your will to be done. And there may be those on the sound of my voice today that the family is going through turmoil. We know there's so many divorces today, so many broken-hearted men, so many tearful mothers, wives, and so many disillusioned children. Oh, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that these broken homes would be amended. So many in the United States of America, so many, as well as other parts of the world. May your will be done in this service today. For it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. As we have our invitational hymn, I trust you'll respond as the Holy Spirit of the Lord leads you. If he's calling you today to come, repent, and receive Christ, come. Or to rededicate that life to the Lord, come. May we stand together to have an invitational hymn.